23, verse 5, my cup runneth over. You see, by living this life, our hearts ought to bubble over with many things, and we've been looking at that. We saw last week praise. Heart ought to overflow with praise. That ought to be spontaneous. It's not something that we necessarily plan, but it ought to be a spontaneous thing as a result of living this life. Another thing is love. Our heart ought to overflow with love to the Lord. Through Scripture, we are commanded to love God. Again, as we've said many times in the past, the very fact that we are commanded to love God says a lot about us, that we have to be told to love God says a lot of negative about you and I. But it is a command throughout Scripture, and it is a command to God's people to love the Lord. Notice very familiar verses, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. And love is, again, it's not something you can just decide to do. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Then he tells us to what degree? With all thy heart. None of us do that. With all thine heart. With all thy soul. With all thy might. We ought to pray every day that God would help us to do that. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 12, and now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? What are the requirements of God? God's people, fear the Lord thy God. That's reverence. To walk in all his ways. And to love him. And serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. He goes on in verse 13, keep the commandments. But in the middle there is his love. Deuteronomy 11, verse 1, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments alway. Joshua 22, verse 5. Joshua 22, verse 5. Take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave to him, and serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. You see, in each of these verses, there's love to God, and there's things that are connected to love to God, such as obedience, that would be one, and cleaving to the Lord would be another. In Psalm 31:23, we're told to love the Lord. And remember when the lawyer asked Christ in Matthew 22 and verse 36, that lawyer, trying to trap Christ, said, which is the great commandment of the law? What's the greatest commandment in the law? What's the most important, if you will? Jesus answered in Verse 27 or verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That is the greatest commandment. It does not lessen any other commandment. But this is a foundational command. We are commanded to love God. Now, people have different definitions of love. Nowadays, almost any time you talk to somebody, you have to find out what they mean by words, because you may not be speaking the same language. And that's certainly true when it comes to love of any kind. But we are commanded to love God with every fiber of our being. That's the command. And Jesus said it's the greatest command. Yet it is not something that we just decide to do. Okay, I'm going to start loving God. It comes as a result. It comes as a result of several things, but one of the things is a relationship with Him. And that relationship is seen throughout the 23rd Psalm. Maybe 25 years ago, I believed that if you once loved somebody, you always will. I don't necessarily believe that anymore. I do believe that love can die if it's not fed. And if a relationship is not growing, love is not going to grow. But there's nothing in the Lord, there's nothing about the Lord that's not deserving of love with every fiber of our being. Nothing about it. You can't say that about anybody else in all the world. There's absolutely nothing in or about God undeserving of love. So to love God is the most reasonable thing you can do. It's the most sensible thing. It's the most logical thing that there is. And that's pretty much what John says in 1 John chapter 4. If we turn there, 1 John 4, verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. In other words, it just makes sense. He loves me. He's perfect. It makes sense that I love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. But though love is the most logical thing there is, it's not something that we do by nature. And because it's not something we do by nature, true love to God is extremely rare. It's very, very rare. By nature, man, of course, is an enemy to God. So if we're going to love God, there has to be a change. There has to be a miraculous change. And that, of course, is salvation. But we love Him because He first loved us. In proportion as we are persuaded of God's love to us, we shall be affected with love to Him. The more we realize, the more aware we are of His love to us, the more that we know and the more persuaded and the more convinced and the more we feel and the more we experience His love to us, the more we love Him. I mean, it's just, that's true amongst human beings. But it's true between man and God. The more we feel and experience His love, the more we love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. So it is a love that really has its basis in the salvation experience. That's the that's part of the foundation. It has its basis in salvation. I do not believe that an unsaved sinner loves God. They may love the God they've created in their imagination. I do not doubt that. But they do not love the Lord. The Bible makes that very clear. So it has its basis in the salvation experience. And an ongoing relationship in salvation should lead to an ongoing relationship with the Lord. An ongoing relationship with the Lord strengthens, deepens that love. A relationship with the Lord, as that relationship with the Lord becomes more of a reality, as that relationship deepens, so does love. I mean, just so it's not, well, I'm just going to start loving God more. No, first of all, you have to be saved. Secondly, there has to be an ongoing relationship. If that ongoing relationship does not exist, love is not going to grow. It's just like husband and wife going to spend X amount of years going their separate ways. Love doesn't grow that way. There's an ongoing relationship. It's true with friends. Same thing. It's no different with the Lord. So as we live the 23rd Psalm, that is a relationship with God. And as we live the 23rd Psalm, we can declare with David, "My cup runneth over with love." It just, we love Him more every day. We love Him more every day. Love to God is foundational to all service to God. We saw that in the verses that we read earlier, the command. It is implied in each of those verses that this love to God is foundational to obeying the Lord, to serving the Lord, to cleaving to the Lord. It's foundational. It's foundational. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. The end of the commandment, it's foundational. Love to God. There is a connection, no doubt, between loving God and being committed and surrendered to God. There is a connection between loving God and following Him, and obeying Him. The more that we love God, the more manifest our identification with God. The more that we love God, the more we love His Word. The more that we love His day. People who do not love His Word or His day, that's a problem, but it's not the problem. The problem is a lack of love to the Lord. That's the real problem. People who love the Lord love His day. They love His law. People who love God don't try to find every loophole they can for disobedience. They love His law. They love his people. 1 John makes that very clear. 1 John says very clearly, if you don't love God's people, you don't love the Lord, and you don't know him. In other words, you're lost. So love is foundation. The more we love God, the more willing we are to stoop, to serve him, the further we're willing to go. I mean, how far will you go for your children? You'll go pretty far. Why? Because you love them. How far will you go for your spouse? Same thing. How far will we go for the Lord? Well, depends how much we love him. How much of a priority is the Lord? Once again, depends upon our love. If we love God, like we should, he's a priority. You see, it's not, I've had people for decades now tell me, well, I just love my wife too much. No, that's not the problem. Or I love my children too much. No, that's not the problem. You love the Lord too little. That's the problem. It's not about loving your spouse or your children. It's about a lack of love for the Lord. And people don't like that. People don't like to hear that. They would rather convince themselves, well, I can't serve the Lord because I love my wife too much. Well, you're not being honest with yourself. The more that we love God, the more meaningful living becomes. That is so true. The more meaningful living becomes, the more he controls and dominates what we do, and we don't have a problem with him controlling and dominating what we do because we love him. Again, notice Genesis 29. I love this verse. Genesis 29, verse 20. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And notice what it says. And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. What a statement. That is true with the Lord as well. There's a joy in doing what God says if you love him. In 1 John chapter 5, going right along with what we just read in Genesis 29, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Obedience is a manifestation of love to God, and his commandments are not grievous if we love God. If we love God, it's not a grievous thing to obey him. It's not a grievous thing to serve him. So all these people they say it all the time. Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard to serve God. It's so hard. You need to examine. You need to carefully inspect your love for the Lord. Because love, Jacob served for Rachel 7 years and seemed like a few days. Because of the love he had to her. Love to God feeds delight in God. We're told to delight ourselves in the Lord. Love to God causes us to be captivated by him. And that is more powerful than being captivated by the world. There's a reason that John said there in 1 John, love not the world. Because it takes over your life. What you love takes over your life. To delight in God is to find pleasure in him. It's to find excitement in him. We're told in Jude 21 to keep ourselves in the love of God. That is, we're to guard our love to the Lord. We're to give it attention because it's important. And because it can become stagnant. It can become mechanical. It can be stifled. It can lose its glow. It can lose its fervency. And I believe that's what the Lord is saying to the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 2, thou hast left thy first love. It lost its fervency. And he's talking about a certain kind of love there, but we don't have time for that. So love to God needs guarding, needs feeding. How do we do that? We guard our relationship with the Lord. Because that's where the love comes from. It's connected with our relationship with the Lord. You have to guard your relationship with the Lord. You cannot allow anyone or anything to interfere, to stifle that relationship with the Lord. Because once that is damaged, there's a domino effect. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. So as we live the 23rd Psalm life, we will declare with David, my cup runneth over with love. My cup runneth over with love. You know, Brother Eugene Clark used to say to me all the time, I've never forgotten, he says, you get a people that love this, that love the Lord, you can preach to them anything from this book. That is true. That is true. Love to the Lord is foundational. And it comes from the salvation experience and an ongoing relationship with the Lord. And that relationship is pictured here in Psalm 23. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we can, first of all, for saving our soul. We thank you, Lord, that we can have an ongoing relationship with you. We thank you, Lord, for your love to us. And Lord, we pray that you would just help us to love you more each and every day of our lives. Cause us, Lord, to just be more and more in love with you, that our love would grow deeper for you each and every day. We do pray for those that are lost, Lord, that you would open their hearts to salvation this day. Lord, that you'd save their soul. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.